I've learned about a new disease this week. It's called ecchymitis. If you've ever heard of ecchymitis, it's the disease of I can't-itis. And everywhere we look, that feeds into the sermon, by the way, so. Everywhere we look, we are people that are so caught up with this disease, you know. It's kind of a pitiful sight to see. And a lot of it has to do with varying reasons. And so somebody might say, I can't do that because I just don't have enough money. Or I can't. I've just had so much happen in my life. I can't. Because I'm super busy and I'm looking for this or a job or whatever. It's I can't. And so today we're going to look at a couple of different scriptures. And the first scripture we're going to look at tonight is one that slaps that in the face. And it's Philippians chapter 4, starting at verse 12. It says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. So a lot of church folk suffer from ecchymitis, right? And we get caught up in the reasons, and we just can't put God first or commit 100% to our faith. And it seems like that we forget that we have the power given to us through the Holy Spirit to do the things that we're called to do. And there are a few characters in the Bible that had this same kind of disease when God approached them. And the first one that I want to tell you about is one that you've heard the story, and it's the story of Moses. And he's as full of I can't as anybody else could be. In Exodus, we find this story where Moses is minding his own business, and he spies a bush burning in the distance. Now, the odd part about the bush was that it wasn't being consumed by the fire. And so that caught his eye, and curiosity got a hold of him. So he got to try to get a closer look at this little phenomenon that was happening. And as he gets closer, what does God say? God says, Moses, take off your shoes, okay, because you are standing on holy ground. So Moses does what he's told, and he approaches the burning bush, and God tells Moses that he wants him to deliver his people from Egypt. Now, they're in captivity, they're slaves, and that's when Moses gets this disease of I can't tie this. And he says, God, I can't do that because I'm not worthy. He said, God, I can't do that because I can't speak very well. And you know, I stutter and I stammer. And God tells him not to worry. God says, don't you worry about that. I'll help you through this. And Moses says, He calls God out. And he says, no, God, I can't do this. And one of Moses' deals was, God, I don't want to be a disappointment to you. I don't know about you, but I don't want to do only half the job. And so I'm sure that Moses felt at that point incapable of doing what God told him to do. And so scripture says that the anger of the Lord burned against Moses. Now, if you've ever told your kids to do something and they say, no, Dad, I can't. Right? The anger of the dad burns against the child, right? Or the anger of the mom, because really face the one who gets more angry than I do. But anyway, it's this attitude that God is telling him to do something through a remarkable thing, a burning bush. And then Moses, he just makes excuses. And he says, I can't do this, I can't do that. Listen, I've heard all the lame excuses in the world from children and from youth and from church members. I've heard some really lame excuses from church members. Well, we can't do that because, you know. And then, so he says, what's God's solution? Does anybody know? What's that? Look at your brother. He says, Aaron, I'll give you Aaron. Aaron can speak for you. Between the two of you, certainly you should be able to get the job done, right? And so it's the same thing. So God finally tells him to get his brother, and he will be appointed to speak for him, and he would tell them both what to say. Because Moses isn't out of the dark here. Moses isn't out of the water. Moses still has to do the job God called him to do. And Moses actually has to speak to Pharaoh, you know, and say what he's got to say. What Moses was afraid of, I believe probably more than anything, was having to address his people, God's people. So that was Moses. And there's another guy named Gideon who God used in a mighty way to become a great warrior. And so this thing at first, Gideon had his doubts, and he was filled with this disease, right? In the sixth chapter of the book of Judges, we find Gideon threshing wheat in the winepress so the Midianites wouldn't see him. He was threshing wheat in a place where he wouldn't be seen by the Midianites because he knew the Midianites were going to kill whoever they come across. So look at Judges chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. It says, the angel of the Lord came down and sat under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abizrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in the winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. So God calls him a mighty warrior. And the Lord is with you. Now there's that vote of confidence. The Lord is with you, O mighty warrior. I imagine that Gideon probably looked around for a moment and said, who, me? But there is so many things. In the Lord said to Gideon, go in your strength and deliver the people of Israel from the Midians. Gideon started using all the excuses he could. And he said, I have a small family, was one of them. I can't leave a small family. Or I'm the youngest one in my family. I'm the guy who it's going to fall upon. Lord, I can't do this. And the Lord said to Gideon, don't worry, I'll be with you. You can do this. Now, when Gideon accepted the task, Gideon had this great thing in mind. Now, if we talked about this whole story of Gideon, you'd find how fascinating it is that God took this guy who had he thought he was coming up with a battle plan. But what happened was God was saying, leave the battle plan to me. I'll take care of it. You do what you're told. So Gideon was recruiting so many men, and then God said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take this, and went through all these tests, and finally he got down to a number of 300 against the Midianites, and that God chose those 300. Gideon didn't even choose them, right? God had chosen them for him. Now, imagine that. God has chosen us to be his soldiers, his servants, his workers. And there was another third character that I want to look at just briefly. Young shepherd boy who immediately, instead of saying, I can't, said, yes, I can. Who's that? Anybody? David, right? So David went to the front lines where King Saul, right? The whole army of King Saul was fighting the Philistines, right? And when he arrived there, he saw Goliath come out and issue this challenge to the Israelite army to send someone out to fight their champion. And I imagine David must have shook his head and said, why is no one accepting the challenge? Not even his brothers who were so tough and picked on David would accept the challenge. They had all these reasons why they couldn't. Number one, the Philistine army was huge. And I don't mean like in numbers. Their warrior was a giant. Goliath. You remember this story, David and Goliath? Right? And so he had all the reasons why he shouldn't. Look at how big he was. And look at the armor. He's got better armor than I've got. He has more strength than I've got. We can't go against him because it's suicide. David says, wait a second. I can do this with God's help. Let me go to him with God on my side, and I will not be defeated. I can take him. I don't care how big he is. God is bigger. And with his hand upon me, I can defeat anything that comes before me. Well, you all know what happened. David got his sling out, right? And happened. But here's what's so funny. David was just a kid. He puts on this suit of armor that the king gave him, best armor in the business. He puts it on. It's huge. But David goes out and he fights Goliath. What happened when Goliath saw David? He laughs. Really? This is what you got? And I'm sure that Goliath was making fun of the whole thing and just being sarcastic and all those things that we find our enemies are. And what happened? David, with his I can attitude, and he flung this rock, hits him in the forehead. Hits him in the head. He beans his noggin, right? And then David carries this attitude with him throughout life. Now, did David make mistakes after that? Absolutely. But he followed God. He always came back to God. And I want you to think about something, if you would. When God calls you to do something, to start something, to work somewhere, to do ministry, when God calls you to do that, do you start with the work God has for you, or do you start with the excuses that you can make up? And there are lots of excuses. The biggest one we have is I have a hard time talking to strangers. I can't invite people to church. Something else. I can't come to church Sunday. I've got something else to do. Besides, I already went twice this month. I think that's my quota. I think I'm done, right? What are some of the things that we say? I'm too old. I'm too small. Too young. He's just a kid. Listen, I will tell you, in ministry, youth are so powerful. Teenagers have a very powerful opportunity to reach the lost. You can never be too young to talk about Jesus. I doubt he remembers, but Trevor, when he was young, was talking to our neighbor kid about, remember Shay, talking to Shay about Jesus. And our kids would always say, they would always invite people to church, these kids to church. And they didn't always come, but it's amazing what children can do. So you're never too young. And you know what, Danny, you're never too old, right? You're never too tall, you're never too short, you're never too anything. Listen, God made you the way you are, so stop coming up with the excuses and do what God tells you to do. If you can't, if you feel like you can't reach people because of the way you're built, because of the way you carry yourself, because of the family you come from, remember, God built you and made you the way you are so that you can witness for him. Somewhere along the line, you're going to come across somebody who needs to hear your story. Listen, I can think of times when I've sat in my office and I think, I don't think I got it in me. I don't have a sermon this week. I don't think it's happening. I can't come up with a sermon. And you know what? Sometimes it's just a funny little talk. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's just a discussion. And I say funny things and I say stupid things sometimes. I have foot and mouth disease. I sometimes this doesn't register with this. Before this was even prior to being ill, my mouth would sometimes get me in trouble because I would say something, right? Because that's just the way I am. And I think sometimes that I'm not worthy to stand in front of you and proclaim the word of God. Sometimes I feel like I'm not worthy to do those things that it takes to be a pastor. There are tons of reasons to say I can't. But one of the very first passages of scriptures that I ever memorized was Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ. Right? Is that what it says? I can do all things. I'm trying to get you up there. Yeah. I can do all things through him when I let him be my strength, when he strengthens me. But the key to that verse is you have to allow him to strengthen you. Don't try to do it in your own strength. When you can't and you feel you're unworthy, when you feel you're too weak, Christ can give you whatever it takes to get you through that moment to accomplish the task that he has in mind for you. He would not give you a task and not give you the strength to complete it. He would not say to you, you need to reach the lost, without giving you the strength to reach the lost. He would not tell you to witness to your friends without giving you the strength to witness to your friends, because that's what God does. Amen? That's exactly what he does. We are told that my grace is sufficient. I will help you, and I'll do it for you. you just say yes. We need to stop acting like a defeated people and step up to the plate and say, I'm going to do this. We're going to hit one out of the park today. We're going to do this. I used to play softball in my church softball league. And I'd get up there, and the pitcher would turn around and go, I'm like, what a jerk. I hit the ball. I'd love to tell you that it went over their heads and I got a home run, but that's not what happened. I hit the ball. I had a great time because I wasn't there to play softball. I was there to witness. People can say whatever they want about me. God called me to serve. People can say whatever they want about you. God called you to be his witnesses from now until the day you pass. You just got to step up to the plate and say, this one's for God. You can invite someone to church. And you can make it to church every Sunday. And you can do whatever God would have you to do. Listen, the people who don't, they don't understand what they're missing. The people who say, I can't, they don't understand what they're missing. Maybe they're baby Christians. And I don't mean that in an insulting way. Maybe they haven't been saved very long. And so they go back to their old ways. You know, well, I'm struggling, so we're just gonna not tithe for a month. That's the old way, right? Or I can't talk to anybody about Jesus because I don't know enough, and so I'm not gonna say anything. They go back to their old way. In the book of Isaiah, we read about him commissioning Isaiah in chapter 6 and in verse 8, he says, and then I heard the voice of Adonai calling me, calling, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, Hineni, which is Greek, a little bit of Greek, which means here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. Are you willing to go out the door and be a witness for him? To be a light for someone? You got to change those things from I can't to I can. One of the things that I know you wouldn't do, but if you drive by and you see somebody broken down on the side of the road, or you come out of the Albertsons and there's somebody with their hood open and you know they need a jump, or you don't even know that, I know you'll walk up and say, hey, is there something I can do for you? Right? I'm assuming that's what you would do, because I think I know you well enough to know that you care about people. And listen, people don't need a jump start nearly as much as they need the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. But if you give that person a jump start, you get an open door. Half the battle is getting it to be able to speak to somebody. And that requires us saying, I will. I can. And I'm going to. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the message. Lord, I pray that as we move forward, that we would continue to see where we're needed. And Father, we are able to face the challenges of the day. Lord, I know that there are some hurting tonight, even in our own congregation. I pray that you would give them special measure of grace as we close the service out. Father, again, we praise you. In his name, amen. Let's stand together.